Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, February 1st, 2022. Coming up this hour.
A two-day rally pairs the worst month for stocks since the depths of the pandemic.
UBS shares surge as earnings beat estimates. Alphabet reports next.
Moderna's COVID vaccine gets full FDA approval for adults.
And the calls for Prime Minister Boris Johnson to step down grow louder.
New York's mask mandates remain in place for now. Plus, New York Mayor Adams says he's focusing on climate justice. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Easy win for the Knicks. The Devils lost, and Tom Brady refutes the report. He's decided to retire.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. I'm going to check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 13 points. Dow futures down 68. NASDAQ futures down 23. And the 10-year Treasury of 4/32 yield 1.76%. The yield on the two-year, 1.16%. Nathan.
Karen, let's dig a little deeper into these markets. January was a rough month for U.S. stocks, but they wrapped it up with the biggest two-day rally in more than 20 months. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Beaten down technology shares powered a late rebound. The S&P 500 rallied almost 2% for its best back-to-back performance since April of 2020, pairing a monthly loss that at one point exceeded 10% to 5.3%, still the worst drop since the pandemic bear market. The NASDAQ 100's rebound was even sturdier, with a 6.6% surge in two sessions. Its members took such a walloping for most of the month that it still ended down 8.5%, the worst since December of 2018. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. Despite the late gains, January hit many traditional investors pretty hard. We get the details live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. The 60/40 portfolio suffered its worst monthly loss since the start of the pandemic. The Bloomberg 60/40 index, which is a split between equities and bonds, dropped 4.2% in January. Equity and bond prices both saw sharp declines last month as markets priced in faster rate hikes from the Fed. And now it's all about how far the Fed tightens policy and how much inflation, growth, and corporate earnings slow as a result. So stay tuned for more on the central bank when we speak with Philadelphia Fed President Patrick Harker. He'll be a guest on Bloomberg Surveillance coming up at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Renita, thanks. Earnings will continue to be a focus today with two dozen companies in the S&P 500 reporting. Alphabet headlines the list. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
The parent company of Google expected to report strong growth in online advertising, along with continued growth from ads in its YouTube video channels and at its cloud computing unit. Forecasts call for total revenue of $71.8 billion, with over $58 billion of that from Google search ads, and earnings at $27.35 a share. Shares of Alphabet up about 47% in just the last 12 months. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Tom, thank you. Well, in Europe, shares of UBS are up more than 7%. Switzerland's largest bank posted earnings that topped estimates, and CEO Ralph Hamer says UBS is also working to retain talent.
We pay competitively. We pay for performance. We have the talent to make our plan, to the extent we need to pay up, we will do so, as we have done so last year.
CEO Ralph Hamer says UBS will buy back as much as $5 billion of shares this year, almost doubling its total buyback program.
Oil's in focus as well this morning, Karen. It's trading near a seven-year high ahead of this week's OPEC Plus meeting. Stephen Schork, president of the Schork Group, says prices will head even higher this summer.
I would expect to see a pullback. We're going into the weakest demand part of the season as refiners retool. But as demand begins to pick up spring and into summer, 30% probability we will be over $100 a barrel here in the U.S.
Oil strategist Stephen Schork says Russia and OPEC are in no hurry to bring back full production. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude's up a 0.1% or 12 cents at $88.26 a barrel. Brent is little changed at $89.28.
Turning to the pandemic, Nathan, Moderna has reached a long-awaited milestone. The company's COVID vaccine has received full approval from the FDA for people 18 and older. The shot had previously been available to adults under an emergency use authorization.
Well, COVID restrictions, Karen, could pull meat off the shelves at your grocery. Truckers protesting pandemic restrictions are stranding shipments of beef coming from Canada to the U.S. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
150 loads are holding at the Coutts-Alberta border with Montana. Current mandates require the truckers to be vaccinated, and some of them have set up blockades to stop the flow in. This comes at a time when both sides of the border worry about supply chain and concern about what this could do to the cost of beef to consumers and damage to truckers and their loads if they can't finish. It is not clear what provincial or federal authorities are doing, if anything. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And thank you. Meantime, in Europe, the political fallout from Partygate continues. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson is again under fire from members of his own Conservative Party. We go live to London and get the latest with Bloomberg's Max Ramsey. Max, good morning.
Morning, Karen and Nathan. Really a bruising session in Parliament for Boris Johnson yesterday. We got this report into alleged lockdown-breaking parties at Downing Street. It found, quote, failures of leadership and judgment and revealed 12 gatherings are under investigation by the police. So a lot of anger when the Prime Minister came out in the House of Commons. He did apologise, but also struck a defiant tone. The challenge now will be keeping his party on board after we got some cutting questions from senior figures, including the former Prime Minister Theresa May. Live in London, Max Ramsey, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Max. Turning to corporate news now, Bloomberg News has learned the Federal Trade Commission will handle the antitrust review of Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard. The review will focus on the combination of Activision's gaming portfolio with Microsoft's consoles and hardware systems.
And Sony is making a deal in video games too, Nathan. It's buying Bungie, the U.S. game developer behind the popular Destiny and Halo franchises, for $3.6 billion.
And the New York Times is buying Wordle, Karen, the word guessing game that has had a meteoric rise online and clogged your social media feeds. The game has millions of daily users. It's part of the New York Times' plan to increase digital subscriptions. The sale price was not disclosed, but the Times says it was in the low seven figures, not five. S&P futures are down 6 points. Local news next. This is Bloomberg. It's now 6:07 on Wall Street. We're 24 degrees in Central Park. We got a crash in the westbound Southern State on your way to Route 110. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York's requirement that masks be worn in schools and businesses that don't screen for vaccination will remain in place while a state court considers a challenge to it. The New York State Supreme Court ruling comes after a brief whipsaw last week that saw the mask mandate upended by a Long Island judge before being temporarily reinstated the next day. Governor Kathy Hochul's administration imposed the mandate in December in response to rising COVID-19 cases. A wake will be held today for the second NYPD officer killed in an ambush in Harlem last month. Services will be held for Wilbert Mora, who was 27. New York City Mayor Eric Adams announced an environmental team to lead climate policy for the city. Adams says he will focus on what he called climate justice and address recent extreme weather events.
We saw the storm where we lost several New Yorkers based on the storm. We know the challenges that are facing us as we cycle off of fossil fuel and move in another direction.
Mayor Adams, the government has rested in the fraud trial of attorney Michael Avenatti in Manhattan federal court. Prosecutors allege Avenatti stole nearly $300,000 in book proceeds allotted to retired porn star and former client Stormy Daniels. Avenatti, acting as his own attorney, says he hasn't decided yet if he will testify.
From time to time, you know, I examine what evidence is in and what evidence is not, and what the government has proven and what they haven't, and then ultimately I make a decision.
Attorney Michael Avenatti says he didn't do any of the misdeeds the government alleges in the trial. New York Attorney General Letitia James said Donald Trump's call for his supporters to protest against prosecutors was unethical and dangerous. James is probing Trump's real estate empire. Justice Stephen Breyer's retirement announcement prompted President Biden to make good on his campaign promise to name a black woman to the nation's highest court. White House spokesperson Jen Psaki pointed out that two Republican presidents were first in being specific in their justice searches.
President Reagan promised the country he would nominate the country's first woman to serve on the court, and he did so. Former President Trump also promised to choose a woman just over a year ago, and there was no such complaint from the voices on the right who are speaking out now.
Spokesperson Jen Psaki. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. Knicks just had a tough three-game road trip, lost all three. They've got a five-game West Coast trip starting this weekend. In between, a couple of home games and a rare easy win at the Garden, 116-96 over Sacramento, who's lost seven straight. Alec Burks, 21 points. Evan Fournier got the Knicks going. He had 14 in the first quarter. It'll be tougher tomorrow against Ja Morant in Memphis. Morant scored 37 last night. Grizzlies, though, lost in overtime at Philadelphia. Celtics beat the Heat by 20. Warriors won in Houston. Steph Curry scored 40. He had 21 in the fourth quarter. The Nets play in Phoenix tonight. Devils blew a 4-2 third-period lead. Lost to Toronto 6-4. Auston Matthews had the hat trick for the Leafs. Tom Brady said last night he may retire. He may not. But on his podcast, he insisted that decision has not yet been made. Brady said he was enjoying a quiet weekend until his phone blew up with the ESPN report on Saturday that his career was over. Brian Daboll introduced as the Giants' 20th head coach. He got high marks for his work with Josh Allen in Buffalo. His new quarterback is Daniel Jones.
We're not going to make any predictions, and I wouldn't do that to Daniel or really any player. I don't think that's fair to compare him to another guy that I was working with. He's himself. We're going to find out what he does well. We're going to try to implement a system that suits him. And then it's our job to bring pieces in that help him to be the best version of himself and the best quarterback for us.
Daboll said he was impressed Jones ventured through Saturday's snowstorm to work out. Reportedly, Daboll bringing offensive line coach Bobby Johnson with him from Buffalo, and Patrick Graham will likely continue as defensive coordinator. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. S&P futures now down 3 points. Dow futures down 2. NASDAQ futures little changed. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.75%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Clouds will increase today. We'll get up to the mid-30s. Low 40s under a cloudy sky tomorrow. Afternoon rain by Thursday with a high near 50. Currently, 23 and clear skies in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Interactive Brokers Global Analyst. Global Analyst helps you find new global investment opportunities to diversify your portfolio and discover undervalued companies. Try Global Analyst today at ibkr.com/GA. We are getting some earnings this morning. Hearing from UPS, it benefited from higher prices and rising holiday deliveries to post profit that beat analysts' estimates. Its financial targets for the year also topped expectations. And we do have a busy day for earnings today. We'll also be hearing from Google parent Alphabet, along with ExxonMobil, GM, and Starbucks, just to name a few. Futures are lower this morning. S&P futures down 8 points. Dow futures down 27. NASDAQ futures down 26. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.75%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.1% or 10 cents at $88.06 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.7% or $12 at $18.08.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1264 against the dollar. British pound 1.3501. The yen's at 114.69. Bitcoin this morning moving lower at $38,370. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Senators negotiating a sanctions package intended to deter a Russian invasion of Ukraine said they're optimistic they'll resolve lingering disagreements and strike a deal this week. Meanwhile, Russia accused the West of whipping up tensions over Ukraine and said the U.S. had brought pure Nazis to power in Kiev. U.S. regulators are said to be urging drug maker Pfizer to apply for emergency authorization for a two-dose regimen of its COVID-19 vaccine for children 6 months to 5 years old. The Biden administration aims to clear the way for the shots as soon as late February. In the NBA, the Knicks, Celtics, and Warriors won. In the NHL, the Devils lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's coming up to 6:20 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And Ben Laidler joins us now, global market strategist at eToro, as we get set for the trading month of February. But before we do, Ben, I got to ask what your take is on all the volatility we saw in the month of January. What do you think drove it?
I think we had a sort of triple whammy. I think the big one was obviously the repricing of the Fed. We're now looking for 5 hikes this year. We had a, let's call it a mixed earnings season so far. I think we end up fine there, but it's certainly been mixed so far. And then, you know, the icing on the cake, just sort of geopolitical risk, Russia, Ukraine. I think, you know, that was a pretty toxic mix for January. What I would say, though, is history shows you, you know, weak January doesn't make a weak year. And I think we have sort of pretty clear line of sight to a decent, you know, full year return here.
What has that decent line of sight in view for you?
So I think we've priced an awful lot of the Fed here. We've basically gone from expecting 0 hikes to 5 hikes in the last sort of 3-4 months. Earnings season, you know, earnings are up 25%. We're beating expectations, and those earnings numbers are actually twice as good in the rest of the world. Valuations for the S&P now less than 20 times, and I think they're very well supported by this sort of near record corporate profitability and these still low bond yields. And the sort of short-term indicator is just, I think, investor sentiment collapsed. You've seen that in the VIX. You've seen that in sort of put call ratios. I mean, in just in various sort of indicators. And that's a very strong sort of near-term sort of contrarian buy indicator. So, as I say, I think, you know, we have sort of pretty clear double-digit upside into the end of the year from here.
What does the environment look like to you, though, as we get closer to the March rate decision from the Fed? There's a lot of speculation, a lot of wonder whether we're going to see more than a 25 basis point hike in the month of March. Does that add more volatility in the short term?
Yeah, markets hate uncertainty, and this is definitely going to be a sort of lower return, more volatile year. I mean, this is definitely a transition year. Interest rates are going up. We haven't seen that for a long time. Growth is going to slow. And the volatility I think you're seeing in markets are absolutely reflecting that. I don't think that's going to go away overnight. But, you know, that's, again, let's focus on the fundamentals. We've priced a lot of these Fed expectations already. Earnings are still very strong. You know, valuations are 10% better than they were a month ago. And as I say, you've got this collapse sentiment, which is maybe giving you a sort of, you know, interesting entry opportunity.
Where are you seeing the strongest earnings potential right now?
So, you know, this is still a world where growth is pretty strong. You know, GDP growth in the U.S. this year will be nearly twice long-term average levels, and the same goes globally. So we're looking at the people that have the most exposure to that, and that's really sort of your cyclicals. I mean, that's energy, that's commodities, that's industrials, you know, maybe some of the financials as well. I mean, I think that's where, you know, the earnings surprises are going to keep coming from.
We're saying Treasury yields kind of holding steady right now. What impact could fixed income potential volatility in the Treasury market have on stocks?
So I think it does two things. So I think, one, it definitely pressures valuations. And we've seen that this year. These higher long-term bond yields definitely pressure valuations sort of lower. And I think that remains sort of a risk for market. You know, valuations are definitely sort of high by historical standards. I think they're well supported, but I think, you know, they could come lower. And the offset to that is the growth numbers, which I think, you know, continue to deliver. I think the second impact is the sort of sector rotation. You know, some sectors like financials, you know, do very well under a higher bond yield environment. And the other sectors like, you know, technology, it's definitely a headwind to their high valuation. So I think those are the two impacts, lower overall valuations and a sort of big rotation sort of out of growth, you know, into value, which we've been seeing. And if bond yields keep moving higher, I think continues.
Well, only have about 30 seconds left here, Ben, but is there a risk of a more hawkish Fed affecting the growth picture for the economy?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I always say, you know, history says you buy corrections unless you're going into recession. And that is obviously, you know, the risk here is the Fed makes a mistake, they hike too much, the economy, you know, weakens. And you just got to watch the yield curve. You know, 10 years minus 3 months, if that goes negative, you know, that's your best indicator of recession. We're a long way from that at this point.
Thanks for this, Ben. Good having you on. Ben Laidler, global market strategist at eToro, with us this morning, the first morning of February, as we're watching a little bit of
shaky action for futures right now. They've been swinging a bit between gains and losses. Right now, slightly lower, with S&P futures down 9 points, Dow futures down 39, NASDAQ futures lower by 27 points at the moment. Seeing some pretty significant strength in European stocks this morning, with the DAX up 1.1%. So is the CAC in Paris. The 10-year Treasury right now up 6/32. The yield 1.75% on the 10-year note. Yield on the 2-year 1.15%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, increasing clouds, mid-30s today, cloudy, low 40s tomorrow, afternoon rain possible by Thursday, milder with a high near 50 degrees, currently 23 degrees in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. It's time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Trade crypto for less coin with commissions just 12 to 18 basis points and no hidden spreads or markups. Learn more at ibkr.com/crypto. Up first, U.S. futures are lower to begin the new month. The S&P 500 is coming off a two-day rally, but January was still the worst monthly loss since the depths of the pandemic. Tech has been hit hardest, and some money managers say it's a buying opportunity. Sarah Hunt at Alpine Woods Capital says chip makers are a particular bargain right now.
You've got some 15 times earnings stocks in some of the chip makers. You've got some of the chip equipment makers that are cheaper now, too, than they were before. And I think that there's some real growth ahead because you're going to continue to move where we're making semiconductors. So I think that there's a long runway for some of these stocks to grow. And I think that that is what people are going to be looking for as we go forward.
Overall, Sarah Hunt at Alpine Woods sees the tech sector bouncing back from these levels.
Well, when it comes to traditional diversified portfolios, Karen, January hit investors pretty hard. Let's get more live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. The 60/40 portfolio suffered its worst monthly loss since the start of the pandemic. The Bloomberg 60/40 index, which is the split between equities and bonds, dropped 4.2% in January. Equity and bond prices saw sharp declines last month as markets priced in faster rate hikes from the Fed. And now it's all about how far the Fed tightens policy and how much inflation, growth, and corporate earnings slow as a result. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. On the earnings front, Alphabet, GM, and ExxonMobil are among two dozen companies in the S&P 500 reporting today. In Europe, shares of UBS are up more than 7%. The Swiss bank boosted its stock buyback program after reporting earnings that topped estimates.
Across the pond today, Karen, it's all about politics. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson is again under fire from members of his own Conservative Party. A report into partying at Downing Street during lockdowns is taking aim at failures of leadership at the top of Johnson's government.
And in corporate news, the New York Times is buying Wordle. Wordle is a word guessing game that's had a meteoric rise online. The game has had millions of daily users, and it's part of the New York Times plan to increase digital subscriptions. The sale price was not disclosed, but the Times says it was in the low seven figures. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And futures are lower. S&P futures down 9 points this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It's Karen, 6:33 on Wall Street, 24 degrees in Central Park. We got a crash on an eastbound Belt Parkway at Springfield Boulevard, causing delays getting to JFK Airport. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York's mask mandate will remain in effect while the state appeals a ruling from a lower court judge overturning it. The decision from an appellate panel of judges follows an appeals court judge's decision last week, temporarily restoring it the day after the initial ruling overturning it. The state's health commissioner has reinstated the mask mandate. It was in place in mid-December. It's now been extended to February 10th. New York City Mayor Eric Adams announced three veteran environmental policymakers to lead climate policy for the city and focus on what he called climate justice.
There's also a challenge that people ignore. We ignore as we built out our economy and built out new jobs, we are leaving too many New Yorkers behind.
Adams pointed to the need to address recent extreme weather events and rising sea levels, and to do so in a way that takes into account people of color and low-income communities. Russian Foreign Minister Sergey Lavrov and U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken will speak by phone today as diplomatic efforts continue to reduce tensions over Ukraine. The U.N. Security Council held a stormy debate yesterday on Moscow's troop buildup near Ukraine's border. U.S. Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield says that Russia's growing military force, more than 100,000 troops along Ukraine's borders, was the largest mobilization in Europe in decades. President Biden.
Today, in the United Nations, we've laid out the full nature of Russia's threat to Ukraine's sovereignty and the territorial integrity of Ukraine, as well as the core tenets of a rule-based international order.
President Biden. Michael Avenatti has wavered on whether he plans to take the witness stand in his own defense at a fraud trial in which he is accused of stealing $300,000 in book proceeds from porn actor Stormy Daniels. Avenatti is acting as his own attorney.
I am completely innocent of these charges, and I hope the jury sees it that way.
The government rested its case against Avenatti in federal court in Manhattan. He is expected to put on the bulk of his defense case today. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here again is John Stanshaw.
Thanks, Nathan. A rare easy win for the Knicks. Not surprising. Sacramento's lost seven in a row. Knicks outscored the Kings in all four quarters and won at the Garden. 116-96. Alec Burks, 21 points. Knicks host a much better team, Memphis, tomorrow. Then they go back on the road for five games. Devils lost their fifth in a row, 6-4 in Toronto. The hat trick for Austin Matthews as the Leafs came from 4-2 down in the third period. Rangers home tonight for the Florida Panthers, and St. John's host Providence is in first place in the Big East. Tom Brady said he was enjoying a quiet weekend until the ESPN report on Saturday that he had decided to retire. It was shot down by his agent, his father, and the Tampa Bay Bucks, and then last night by Brady himself on his podcast.
I think I just said I'm going to take it, you know, day by day. It really is. I'll take it by the moments and figure out when. You know, I feel really confident to allow people to, you know, who I understand my decision affects a lot of people's lives. So when that decision comes, it'll come.
He said he's still trying to evaluate things. 46-year-old Brian Daboll introduced as the 20th head coach of the Giants.
This was a dream come true. You're talking about the New York Giants. And I understand the challenges with that. And it's just a great opportunity that was afforded to me and my family. We look forward to it. You know, we've been working here for 2 days. We got a long way to go here. But just a historic franchise. I look forward to being part of it.
Hopes to last longer than his three most recent predecessors, who were all fired during or after their second season on the job. His background as an assistant, impressive, part of five Super Bowl winning teams in New England and a national championship with Alabama. John Stanshauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta is here delivering us some earnings.
Yeah, good morning, Nathan. We have to talk about these earnings stories because it's not just tech that is reporting this week. You have UPS coming out this morning. UPS is also the ticker, up just shy of 5%. It's coming after they posted some pretty positive earnings, benefiting from higher prices and rising holiday deliveries to post profit that beat the analyst expectations. It's also offset some of that increased pay for seasonal workers. It's worth noting, Nathan, UPS is actually known for kind of getting ahead of this whole labor situation because they offered higher wages relative to their competitors, and looks like it's paying off. And they were also able to, of course, like I said, increase their pricing as well. On top of that, the cherry on top, as if you needed some more good news from UPS, is that their 2022 financial targets were also above expectations. So a lot of good news coming over from that shipping company. Moving on to the other earnings story this morning, and that, of course, is NXP Semiconductors. NXPI is your ticker, up 0.8%. They reported last night after the bell This is the second biggest supplier of chips to the automotive industry. We've been talking a lot about how those EV makers, Ford, GM as well, have been actively looking to get more and more chip supply to help them with that EV boom. Well, NXP Semiconductors is the benefactor of that, excuse me. And they gave us pretty strong forecast for the current quarter, helped by a flood of demand from, once again, those vehicle makers that were desperate for those parts, Nathan.
And speaking of vehicle makers, Creedy, seeing an analyst move on earlier earnings from Tesla.
Yes, Tesla having an interesting morning because it actually got a really good review over at Credit Suisse, getting upgraded to a buy, the analyst citing valuations and some technical levels saying that their 14-day RSI, well, it's hit the oversold position. This, of course, follows weeks and weeks of selling. Nevertheless, TSLA is your ticker. It's actually down 0.7%, but I wonder how many people are going to read that note this morning and turn that position around as soon as the opening bells ring. Some more stories actually coming over from Carnival as well. CCL is your ticker, up 0.6%. The Fed is extending a stock share sale and a share repurchase program. So naturally, those shares are up higher in the pre-market. And let's just push ahead, Nathan, to what we're going to hear after the bell. AMD and Alphabet both reporting after markets close today.
All right. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta staying busy through earnings season. And passing along a red headline that just crossed the Bloomberg terminal, AT&T will cut its dividend to $1.11 a share after its spinoff of Warner Media's business with Discovery, combining those, finally closes. AT&T shares, I should say, T, the ticker there, down 2%. And Blackstone Carlyle said to mull a joint bid for a $25 billion Novartis arm. That red headline just crossed the Bloomberg terminal as well. S&P futures right now down 9 points. Dow futures down 31. NASDAQ futures down 26 points. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Clouds increasing today with a high near 35 degrees. Clouds low 40s tomorrow. Upper 40s to around 50 with afternoon rain on Thursday. Currently 24 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures moving lower this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Modest losses in the futures right now. Dow futures down 54 points. S&P's dropped 13, while the NASDAQ futures are lower by 42. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.75%. Gold is up 10. Oil is little changed. And Bitcoin is also trading little changed. European markets are in the green with 1% gains across the board. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, manufacturing PMI, and at 10 o'clock, ISM manufacturing and prices paid. Regarding earnings this morning, UPS beat estimates, is boosting the dividend by 49%. And in deal news, AT&T to spin off Warner Media and reduce its dividend. Wrapping things up, Workday was raised at BMO on faster growth and valuation, and Harley-Davidson was raised to equate over at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Karen. Russia said it has yet to respond to written proposals delivered last week by the U.S. and NATO as Western countries continue their diplomatic press to deter Moscow from attacking Ukraine. President Vladimir Putin meets today with Hungarian leader Viktor Orban, while U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken will speak by phone with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. The chief medical examiner who ruled George Floyd's death a homicide will return to the stand today at the trial of three former Minneapolis police officers charged with violating Floyd's civil rights. In the NBA, the Knicks, Celtics, and Warriors won. In the NHL, the Devils lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, transforming computing professionals into data scientists to meet demand in this fast-growing field. Learn more at njit.edu/data science. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. People who follow 7 rules for healthy living could offset a high genetic risk for heart disease, according to a study published in the American Heart Association journal Circulation. People with high cumulative genetic risk scores for heart disease could dramatically lower that risk if they adhere to 7 lifestyle modifications called Life's Simple 7. In addition to eating a heart-healthy diet and moving more, this includes not smoking, maintaining an appropriate weight, and keeping blood glucose, cholesterol, and blood pressure levels under control. When it comes to measuring global warming, humidity, not just heat, matters in generating dangerous climate extremes. According to a study in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, researchers say factoring in air moisture along with heat shows that climate change since 1980 is nearly twice as bad as previously calculated. And Bitcoin wrapped up its worst start to a year since 2018. The largest cryptocurrency by market value was down more than 18% in January. That followed a 19% decline in December. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories from our nation's capital include senators nearing a deal on Russia sanctions to deter an invasion of Ukraine, President Biden being urged to pick a sitting judge to succeed Justice Stephen Breyer on the Supreme Court, and a Trump attack putting new focus on a bipartisan election law effort. Let's bring in Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, who can speak better than me on a Tuesday morning. Emily, good morning. Let's start with what's happening on Capitol Hill with that sanctions deal that's being discussed. Where are senators on that right now?
So we're seeing senators say that they're hoping they can actually wrap up and have an agreement by the end of the week. You are seeing that urgency, but also that bipartisanship. Lawmakers from both sides have been trying to craft a bill that both Democrats and Republicans can support. One big piece of this seems to be not just having sanctions on Russia should they invade Ukraine, but also sanctions on some Russian officials right now. Lawmakers have said that what Putin has done, bringing so many troops so close to the border, that in and of itself is enough for potential sanctions. We're not clear at this point exactly what those sanctions would be. We know a lot of the financial sanctions have been considered, maybe making it more difficult for Russia to convert its ruble into other forms of currency. One thing that does seem to be off the table right now is having banning Russia from the SWIFT banking system. A lawmaker said that that could potentially hurt European allies, and they don't want that to happen.
And while this discussion is still going on Capitol Hill, Emily, we're expecting Secretary of State Antony Blinken to speak again with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, a delegate diplomatic dance while they're still talking about potential sanctions even before a possible invasion.
Yes, I mean, there's definitely the diplomatic component going on. You're going to see that meeting between the two of them later this morning. You are also seeing continued discussions with Russia and its European counterparts, with Putin and Macron, with Putin and the leader of Hungary, Viktor Orban. And you are seeing that diplomatic continue, but at the same point, the U.S. has told employees in Ukraine, but Belarus, that their families need to evacuate the country due to an unusual and concerning military buildup. So the U.S. is still posturing as though an attack could be imminent, but they are keeping their diplomatic solutions still open.
And speaking of meetings going on today, I see on the White House calendar that President Biden is going to be welcoming the top 2 senators on the Judiciary Committee to the White House today as he's mulling his first Supreme Court choice.
Yes. And one of those senators says, Dick Durbin, the Democrat, he says that he's been talking with Republicans, trying to see exactly how much bipartisan support there might be for some of the people on the White House's list of potential nominees. The Democrats, they don't need Republicans to come along and support their nominee. They can move it through as long as all 50 Senate Democrats are in agreement. But Biden has talked so much about being a bipartisan president. And one way that he might be able to make sure he gets those Republicans Republican votes is if he does nominate someone who's already a judge. In fact, on his short list, he's got several names, including Ketanji Brown Jackson, who was actually confirmed to the D.C. Court of Appeals in June of last year, and three Republican senators voted for her then.
All right. And finally, Emily, former President Trump's latest rally over the weekend obviously has gotten a lot of attention for a number of reasons, including some new attention on the Electoral Count Act and efforts to sort of firm that up.
Yeah, so this is a law that's more than 100 years old that basically talks about what role Congress has when it comes to counting and certifying those electoral college votes. The short story is that Congress doesn't have much except for ceremonial authority, but lawmakers are concerned, including some Republicans like Senator Susan Collins, after they saw Trump put pressure on his vice president, Mike Pence, to try to decertify the election when it really the vice president is supposed to have more of a ceremonial role. And so there has been discussion about updating this law. The main concern that we've heard at this point from the White House and from Democrats is that they don't think that's enough. They want to have that broad-ranging electoral reforms package that they're just not able to get through the Senate at this point. And they're a little worried that if they focus on this Electoral Counts Act, they might lose momentum for a larger push on election law.
Only about 30 seconds left here. So does that mean the broader voting rights push is kind of dead at this point?
I mean, yes. At this point, there doesn't seem to be any way to get it through unless Senator Joe Manchin has a sudden change of heart about how he feels about the filibuster, and that seems highly unlikely. I think it's safe to say that that's just not going to happen within the next year.
All right. Well, we know we will be continuing to follow any developments as they occur. As always, thanks for keeping us apprised of what's happening in the nation's capital. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins with us. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And as a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
Nathan, it is 6:56 on Wall Street, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. February is Black History Month, and every day this month, we are celebrating significant moments in U.S. Black history. Now with your installment for February 1st, here's Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in Black history in 1865, Boston lawyer John Rock becomes the first African-American to be admitted to the bar of the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, traditionally, the Chief Justice would determine who could bring cases to the nation's highest court. And Chief Justice at the time, Roger B. Taney, was opposed to Black people having citizenship rights. But when Taney died in 1864, Rock saw an opportunity. New Chief Justice Salmon Chase was an opponent of slavery. And with the assistance of Massachusetts Senator Charles Sumner, Rock was admitted to the bar of the Supreme Court, although he died before having the chance to argue before the Supreme Court. John Rock would also be one of the first African Americans to speak before the U.S. House of Representatives, and he had several careers as a teacher, dentist, and abolitionist who was passionate about the dignity and rights of all Americans. That's today in Black History. I'm Renita Young. Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. And futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures down about 13 points this morning. Dow futures down 53. And NASDAQ futures down 38. The 10-year Treasury up 7/32. The yield 1.75%. The yield on the two-year 1.16%. And NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.2% or 17 cents at $87.97 a barrel. And Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz is coming up. And for Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.